You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Not Barnstorm. It's very close.
Barnum.
Right? Yeah. Barnstorm and Bailey.
Okay.
Hopefully during this podcast we find out how the name Barnstorm got.
Let's see something.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers, Regan, to be talking about what today?
Three topics today. Topic number one is, what is your favorite sword fight in a film? Topic number two is, what superhero should be made that hasn't been made yet and you can cast it? Topic number three is, if you can program a robot to do one thing, what would you program it to do?
A rabbit robot. And we are pleased as punch to have back on the podcast and also another guest for the first time, Mr. Brent Bumpers and Mr. Pete Barnstrom. How are you guys doing today?
Robot.
Yeah.
Robot. Doing fine as wine.
Well, Brent, this is, I think, your sixth time.
I lost count.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. There's like, yeah, if you go through the feed, you see my face pop up a lot. I'll be like that guy that the FBI could never find, but he always pops up menacingly in photos.
Oh, Satan? Pete Barnstrom, you are a comic book author. You are a filmmaker. You are a artist extraordinaire in many sense of the word. How would you describe yourself and what you do, sir?
Well, I do a lot of things. I've done a lot of film here in San Antonio and around the world. But right here, now, presently, I'm talking about the new book, which is called Bunk.
I love it.
And it's about kids debunking myths.
There you go.
Oh, cool.
So this is going to be all family-friendly, right? So
podcast isn't. But we do have parents that listen to the podcast.
All right,
so,
good.
You know,
good.
It's so like
if
porn.
If your fucking
like parents
kids want to see this book.
There
Wait,
we go.
What did you say? If your fucking kids what?
Want to read this book.
Oh.
No.
Jesus. The shit's called Bunk.
B-U-N-K. Bunk.
B-U-N-K.
And that's my publicist.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure the quote gets quoted correctly.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
That'll be on the back of the book.
Yeah.
Larry.
Bunk Funk.
There goes the siren.
Well, you know what? Welcome to Public Access, Pete.
Welcome to Amber Alert. So,
name of my band. So tell us, I know that they're busting myths, but what was the inspiration behind, you know, writing this, man? Because this looks really awesome. I can't wait to show my fucking kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about a boy magician, which my writing partner on this, Jamie Nash, was an actual magician. He was busking on the boardwalks in Baltimore.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was fun to say.
Busking on the boardwalks of Baltimore.
Cornucopia of alliteration.
So we spent a lot of years as juggling Jamie the... I mean, I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to stop
now. Juggling Jamie the jerky Jamaican gigolo?
Busking on the boardwalks of Baltimore.
Man. Turning it to a Joel Silver theme song.
Yeah, no shit.
he's all about magicians. He's a big fan of the Amazing Randy, and I am a skeptic from way back for every damn thing you can think of.
Right.
So,
well, right.
So that's really what this book is about.
Cool.
It's a sweet book. It's sort of a throwback to Encyclopedia Brown sort of era.
Oh, cool.
But it's also sort of there to sort of say to kids, think about things. Don't just believe every piece of crap. That's
good. Very nice.
God isn't real.
Critical thinking.
We actually had – I tried to slip in a Santa Claus chapter.
Ooh.
But I was going to
have – That's worse than God.
It was going to have like a Yes, Virginia sort of ending to it where, you know, it's not that Santa's not real. He's just in our minds. They said no debunking of beloved imaginary characters,
which
of course meant Santa, Easter Bunny, God. Jesus. And any of those sorts of things.
Any of those fictional characters.
So, and I see here that there is a drawing of the prophet. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No, there isn't. But I like it. It looks really cool. My daughter's, has graduated from the days of Captain Underpants and stuff like that.
Well, this is kind of a step above.
Total step above.
Okay, so I have zero knowledge of Captain Underpants, but there was a movie that just came out recently.
Yes.
And so there was a movie trailer, and I couldn't hear it, but I see it. Is Captain Underpants an adult?
Yes.
And he's running around in his underpants. Yes. Around school children,
so,
right?
So
it gets better.
Yeah, the premise isn't that creepy. Basically, the premise is that these two kids,
yes,
right, are writing comics.
Okay.
And they write about Captain Underpants.
Okay.
Right? And their principal,
a very mean person,
very
right?
mean, yeah, confiscates them but reads them and then gets hit in the head or something like that. And then because the Captain Underpants books are around it, he takes it on the persona of Captain Underpants. But because of radioactivity and whatever the fuck,
he's really
becomes a real superhero.
He becomes an adult running around in his underpants.
Yeah.
It's like a
person that works for elementary school.
Yes. See, that's what I just wanted to make sure.
It's like Toxie, but he's wearing his underwear.
Yeah.
And it still gets girls.
Yeah.
It's funny because Toxic Avenger became the Toxic Crusaders, like, cartoon show for kids. And I was like, it's a fucking Tromaville movie full of, like, tits, ass, and gore.
Right.
And it became a kid's show.
Yeah.
Then I was like, this is the land of dreams.
Right. So, how long has this book been out? I mean, I think it's
brand spanking new. It's on Amazon at an obscenely low price right now. For some reason, they've dropped it down to a really low price right now. So,
okay.
Nice. Grab it while you can. Plus, you get the Kindle with it, too. And we have reached the end.
You get the Kindle version.
You get the Kindle version also. You don't get a Kindle and buy Bunk.
Exactly.
They're giving away that crap now.
Yeah, like who
the hell wants a Kindle?
Right.
Here, please take one. You don't even have to buy the book.
Somehow my book's on Amazon Fire. They just really want to get that shit out of there.
So what was it like
Billy
to
Joel
me?
Didn't start it.
What was it? Did you ever think that you would be writing a book ever?
Oh, yeah. No, that's always been what I've been doing.
Okay, all right.
And I've written novels before.
Oh, what the hell? Okay,
but
awesome.
I haven't. They've all sort of become screenplays and that sort of thing and movies. So
what if you don't mind tooting your own horn, like, what type of movies? What are some of the movies that you've written? Some of the books that you've written?
Most of the stuff that I've written as movies have not been made. I've made a few bucks off of them, but they didn't get made. We did sell actually one to Amazon not long ago.
That was awesome.
They did what they called a test film. It was called For Sale by Superhero. It was another family film sort of thing. And it was cute. That's cute.
Yeah.
It was very family friendly and it was kind of fun. But
is the majority of your work family friendly?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So we've been talking about Bunk. We've been talking about that. Tell me something that isn't family friendly. Like what are some of the stories that you've written?
I did a novel called 80 Proof about about an insurance investigator who gets burned half to death and still goes out to find the bad guys. And that got optioned as a film, and I got to write the screenplay and lots of things happened, but I didn't make it. And a few of those sorts of things.
Yeah.
My interests are much more towards Private Eyes and spies and monster movies and that sort of thing.
So, well, let me ask you this question because I don't get to ask it very often. Did you like Chinatown?
the film?
The film. I know that's random.
But smell for you too?
Well, because I was laid out for a couple months, so I decided to watch a bunch of movies that I was, quote unquote, supposed to have seen as a film buff. And I saw Chinatown, and I'll save my opinion for what you thought of it.
I think you had to have seen it at the time, mostly.
Okay. I wasn't born at the time.
Yeah, so I know. Yeah. So so many things have happened since then that are...
Better?
Build upon it. I won't say better necessarily. Okay. Build upon it so that when you watch it, you say, "Oh, is that all the? Is that what the mother sister is all about?"
Yeah, dude. I watched fucking Chinatown, and then nothing to do with Chinatown.
Oh my god!
Why would they title it? And then the titular line, even though it had nothing to do with it, and it's like, "Come on, Jack Nicholson." Chinatown.
Forget
and
then like, Jack, it's Chinatown.
Right. Just kind of like...
And that line was improvised, by the way. It was supposed to be another ending, and they just tacked that on because they ran out of money.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
They're going all the way through that movie and not going to say Chinatown even once?
They were going to say something. They were going to use it another time, but they decided just to cut it short. And like,
the movie wasn't even named Chinatown until they said that line.
Exactly. Is that true? Is that true?
It was originally going to be called Spetsburg.
Is it?
No.
Was it?
Forget it, Jack. What? It's Spetsburg.
Try something else. It's Chinatown.
Well, what you got to do now is you got to go out and see the sequel. The two Jacks.
Is that the sequel to Chinatown?
Yes.
The two Jakes.
Yeah. The two Jack Nicholsons.
And the terms of endearment is the third making the trilogy.
Prequels, Big Trouble in Little Chinatown.
He's a detective, but then he became an astronaut.
You guys are confusing me, man.
The Shining Jakes.
I want to believe you. But it's like, sorry, Jack, this is The Shining. Forgot the name of the.
The Overlook.
Thank you. I was trying to think of the name of the.
Joking aside, the Two Jakes is the sequel to Chinatown. That's true. Yes.
Yeah,
it is true. Don't see that.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No,
don't see that.
Did you like True Detective the first season?
I made it about halfway through before I got bored.
Yeah,
I liked. I didn't even try
the first season's great. The second season.
Oh God.
So your favorite movies, Pete? What would you say they were? Like your favorite films?
Magnificent Seven.
Ooh.
The first remake with Yul Brynner.
The first remake. Got it.
The Magnificent Seven being a remake of Seven Samurai.
That's the movie that made me mold my wife believes that it is, in fact, some sort of psychological test. If a woman needs to watch that movie because every man falls into one of these seven categories.
Ooh.
So I haven't been able to find out which category I'm in. I'm hoping it's Yul Brynner.
I was going
to
say, you got to air, right?
I like the third remake, Seven Psychopaths. I'm just joking. That was a horrible movie.
Yeah, I thought it was The Hateful Eight would be the sequel.
Yeah, we just keep adding one.
Seven Cases of Dr. Lau.
Yeah, exactly. King Nine. Here's a little factoid for you. Yul Brynner's costume in The Magnificent Seven was reused intentionally for Westworld when he was in Westworld.
Yes, clearly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Wow, man.
Yeah. He looked it.
I need to fucking pay my cable bill, dude.
Westworld, bro. Westworld. It's like
Silence of the Lambs.
No. It's like Clint Eastwood. Uh-huh. It's The Matrix, bro.
It's like Jurassic Park. Yeah, Robot Cowboys.
It's Clint Eastwood and The Matrix. If they made a movie, it'd be Westworld, bro.
Damn, dog. But I don't see Westworld for me, dog. It's fucking Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, fucking.
Oh yeah,
Suge Knight.
That's Mad Max.
Oh, Mad Max.
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah, California Love.
Yeah.
Nah, I got the reference, dog. That's hilarious.
Anyway.
Bunk in theaters now.
I was actually going to ask that question. Do you think you said a lot of the stuff you've written turned into screenplays and stuff? Have you ever thought about doing that with this? Like, is this kind of like a little fun thing?
I hope so. It was actually one of the producers on a movie that I worked on but didn't write. Is the guy who's publishing it.
I would like to read an excerpt from Bunk for you guys out there. Out of context.
None of the sexually explicit stuff.
None of it is. Mr. Pork jumped from his seat and approached Baxter. But what about the picture? What about Mrs. Brittlebots? Baxter turned to her. I have one question for you, madam. Mrs. Brittlebots nodded, uncertain. When, Baxter asked, is laundry day?
Bum, bum, bum.
All right, now, books out of context.
What's great about that is now, like, it's making me like, oh, I got to read. Okay, what's going on?
Is it long today? Like, yeah, no, I'm excited about it, man. Thank you so much.
Who Mr. Pork
copy.
Is now.
Yeah, Mr. Pork and fucking rules.
Forget it, Jake. It's laundry day.
Yeah.
There was the original line that. That was the original ending.
Try something else. Name it Laundry Day, and they're
Spotsburg.
Like,
try something else. Chinatown?
Baker's
Charleston.
Dad kind of fucks daughter. Scratch. Nope. That's what Chinatown's about. Yeah, exactly. Spoiler alert.
You know what other movie where the dad tries to fuck the shit out of the daughter is? It's called I Stand Alone.
Is it?
Yes.
Why is that in it exists?
Also, see,
I don't know.
Glow
it's
for
the
Netflix.
Guy that did Irreversible. It's the guy that did Irreversible, and they both happened in the same universe.
Oh,
Jesus
man.
Christ!
Why do you put this in my
Speaking
head.
Of Irreversible, hurting your kids is irreversible.
Actually, right. Yeah, they've had many studies that say if you kind of hurt your kids as a child, it rewrites the brain, kind of just messes it up.
Whoops!
That's what happened to me.
That's why my segment's always called That's Not Funny.
Because it's about science. Well, Pete, I'm sorry for ruining your career, but you agreed to be on this show.
Sorry, I didn't do it.
Yeah, it's not my career. Well, but you've been a listener,
yes.
What I understand. Okay, cool. So, yeah.
I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah, you know what Larry says.
So you brought candy for us.
Can you pass me something?
Just anything?
And, you know, it's been a long time. I was actually going to mention this on the podcast before the candy, but one of the things with us moving to the beautiful Alamo City Studios, located downtown by Psycho's Island, is that we have stopped trying candies. And I was going to bring that up.
Well,
Mr. Barnstrom was nice enough to not only bring gummies, but straight up Haribo.
Like German guy saying horrible.
Like
oh, the when the bomb dropped, it was horrible.
Horrible.
Terrible.
Terrible.
The gummies are horrible, but like when a bunch of Japanese guys. Like, throw gummies on a girl's face. What's that called?
It's called gunkaki.
Yeah, so I love gummies. You can call me a gummy dumpster. I appreciate this. I am going to try, and I'm on a diet, but I'm going to try the horrible ghostly gummies brought to you by Haribo. We make gummies. What else do you want?
Spoiler alert, they taste like Haribo gummies.
They're delicious. Yeah.
They are delicious.
But they look like bats.
But they do. The shapes are...
Little skulls, little coffins, little mummies.
So what do you guys feel about the Haribo ones being like a little bit harder? Like, I always feel like they're like
al dente.
That's what they're al dente.
That's what makes Haribo gummies gum. That's what makes them Haribo gummies.
We're classy as fuck. But it makes me feel like I'm not eating real. Call it that.
I'd like some Haribo still. Alfredo, please.
It's all about what you've had first. I have regular other gummies, and they taste like burnt. These aren't Haribos.
Yeah, but you're rich.
Haribos aren't expensive.
You said you've filmed all over the world, or where'd you go?
I did a few documentaries in Greenland for the National Science Foundation.
Did you meet Bjork?
That's Iceland, I think.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, Jack, this is Greenland.
No, I wasn't offended. I just
that was his honest
thing. I know, but I was like, when you first said Greenland, I was thinking, and then I was like, oh, I think she's Icelandic. Sure enough, he said Bjork.
What kind of documentary?
That's
Iceland, was it?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I kneel for the anthem. So
are we gonna wrap it up here or what?
So after meeting Bjork, what was the documentary about?
Gosh, this is not a question fit for a family audience, so I'll tell you. There's Greenland is unlike Iceland. Greenland is ice, so that's apparently some cruel joke played by a Viking king.
Yeah.
He wanted everybody to go to the ugly place rather than come to his place.
Suckers.
Yeah. So since it's all icy, nobody can get around there, and so everybody lives in their town, and everybody fucks in their town. And so social disease gets into that town, and it just spreads like crazy. Ooh. So their birth rates are declining dramatically. So the National Science Foundation wanted to produce a lot of little short films for women, basically saying it's okay to say no every once in a while, or use a condom or something like that.
Wow.
Because when you live in Greenland, all you've got to do is...
Yep, you're inside. Keep each other warm,
keep
bro.
Keep each other warm, yeah.
It's like the George Carlin bit, sleep fuck.
I'm here to chew whale fat. Fuck.
I'm all out of whale fat.
Because I don't live near the shore like you might think we do in Greenland.
Can I borrow some sugar? That's interesting. So
yeah, so the documentaries were all about, you know, if you get this disease, you might not have children. That's a big issue there because everybody wants children, whatever their age. And trying to sort of establish some of the completely Western concept of getting your heart broken, which
is that a Western?
I think it pretty much is. Yeah,
really?
For them, it's like, yeah, fine, we're fucking. Why not? But then when he leaves the next morning, maybe they're feeling something. I don't know.
And they
maybe.
Don't know how to know. They don't know what it is because it's not part of their culture.
Maybe.
I need to fucking go to Greenland, bro.
Yeah, they're just like hit it and quit it, and they're okay with it.
Yeah. They don't want you to stay and play.
No.
Now,
and their winters are long and strong.
Are we talking about a very sparse nation of solid fives? Does the documentary even cover that?
A sparse nation of solid fives.
Another Western concept. I don't know if Greenland can be picky.
Greenland's not that good.
You know, I'm a San Antonio 4, but I'm a Greenland 8.
Oh, man. That's just how the documentary starts off. Greenland, a sparse nation of solid fives. With nowhere else to, no, nothing to do
but sleep and fuck.
Sleep and fuck.
So
the local sleep and fuck.
So, Bjornsson, how does your day go? I don't know. Sometimes. Because that's how you're talking Greenland, right?
Sometimes I go eat seal. Sometimes I go live in England. Most of the time I just have sex with
you sound
friends.
Like Pauly Shore trying to do an Asian accent.
I am. And
what is going on? What is that?
I'm talking about this documentary that he made. I didn't fucking come up with that.
Svensson.
It's Bjornsson, dude. She's from Greenland. She's Bjork's cousin.
We're smashing it to pieces, but it's like, actually, it was really hard to make and very heartbreaking. It's like, anyway, solid fives.
So. I want to have babies, but I can't because I have elephant.
Worst accent.
It's a Greenland accent.
Have
you ever been to Greenland, Mr. Travel?
No,
traveling
I have
guy?
Not.
No, you have not. You've been to Greenland, right, Pete?
Oh, yes.
That is exactly how they sound.
You don't even ask for his fucking approval on that accent. You just gave it to him.
No, I'm just like, he's nodding.
Mr. Trump? Okay.
All right, Pete, you do a Greenland accent.
That's the thing. Nobody knows how Greenlanders talk. They speak another language.
So I do.
So you might as well be doing a Greenland.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Pauly Shore doing an Asian woman.
No, Pauly Shore doing the Asian woman is like, you guys never heard Asian women talk?
That's almost kind of what you're doing.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm doing a Pauly Shore impression. Right.
But you also need the British narrator, though. You have to have this small village stricken with elephantitis. In a sudden outbreak of Zachleys and Fuglies.
Zachleys and Fuglies.
Their breath smells exactly like their butts.
An asshole. You fucking asshole. You fucking asshole. Only Brent can do frat boy joke. That was a fucking frat boy joke.
Can get away with it.
You fucking threw a fucking...
So you were saying something about destroying my career.
No. Brent's doing it. I'm helping. I'm trying to put... What's the name of the documentary?
Oh, I'm piloting.
Yeah, I'm not telling you.
No, oh, come on.
He's just navigating. No, but like you're saying, it was very heartbreaking.
Yes, it was very... It was very sad at times. Oh, but we had a very good time. And,
God damn it.
And I got to eat some whale.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Dagnabbit,
how was
man.
It?
Whale meat is remarkably tender and very tasty. Whale fat makes these look like butter.
Yeah.
They're ours.
I'm so jealous.
Whale fat is hard to eat.
Wow.
But of course, they give it to you and you eat it because gave it to you.
Right, yeah. It would be rude if they didn't, right?
That was worse. I was trying
to
whale.
Go through to get this to you. Yeah. You better eat it.
Yeah.
To
eat no more for me. I'm still working on the last
I tackled this whale for you. It's a blue whale. Hope you like it.
What if they have the whale fat as a big thing and they wrap it up in like a blanket to keep it from, getting frozen in the ice wasteland, and they keep eating on it. And it looks like they're eating a baby.
What if?
It probably takes longer to eat a baby.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You have to keep changing them.
Right.
Oh, God.
While you're doing it, it's like, okay.
All right. This
is not going the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
No, no.
Guys, you're blubbering on.
Yeah! All right.
Let's go ahead and get things started then.
That didn't come out. Dad didn't accompany mic drop at all whatsoever.
No mic drop.
So, where can people find you online and follow you on Instagram and on Facebook and follow your work? Look, all the bullshit that we've been saying has no reflection of you and your great, amazing work that I'm very, very happy to see. So,
and don't worry, Jess can cut out most of what Larry said.
No, he won't.
And Pete's been
you'll never know.
To be quite honest while he's sitting here trying to laugh in self-defense. Yeah. But anyway, I think it's awesome, actually, because I remember I've known Pete for years, and I remember back when he was actually out of town a lot working on this documentary. And it was like it happened over a long, long time where you had to like take many trips out there. Yeah,
right.
How long did it take to make? Seriously,
there for 2 months, non-consecutively.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then to edit all that footage,
that did some of it there and some of it at home.
Wow.
And it was quite a while.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I believe it. And do they still use that documentary?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to find out. Actually, yeah, now that you say that.
Yeah, I hope they do, and I hope that it's saved some lives and maybe created some lives since there was a baby shortage. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that would be really amazing. And you're
pulling it out of the fire there, Larry. Like,
oh no,
it's still glowing though.
Trust me, she's like, thank you to Mr. Beaver. I can put it right back in the fire. I have many babies because of you, and they were delicious.
Wait a minute.
speaking of social disease. We're actually on the decline as far as being able to produce enough sperm to keep carrying on the human torch.
Oh man!
Yeah. Not here in America.
Well, maybe you guys.
Yeah. But yeah, we're starting to see a little bit of that. So it's going to be like that. What is that Clive Owen movie? That
the youngest kid ever,
Son of Man or Son of God,
Children of Men.
There we go.
Shoot him up.
Last baby on
Earth. Sin City.
Yeah.
Shoot him up, right?
He was in
my dad's favorite movie.
God, that to me never ceases to baffle me or amaze me how your dad's favorite movie is Shoot Him Up.
Yeah, it's one of them.
It'd be Baps.
Baps, Woo, Shoot Him Up.
The Lucky Guy.
The New Guy,
yeah.
And Death Proof, actually.
No shit.
Yeah, he loves Death Proof for some reason.
Man, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great impression.
Ever seen Baps?
Has anyone here seen Baps?
Yeah, I saw Baps.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a
Halle Berry Hoodrat movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen Baps.
It's like Ab Fab if they were American and Black.
Black American.
It got real silent after I said that.
Serious question. It's going to sound really inappropriate, but it's very serious. Are there any black people in Greenland?
The woman who brought me there
was
the black person in Greenland.
The black person.
And she
was she American?
She has two sons. She actually came from San Antonio, which is how she got in touch with me.
Wow.
She contacted another film organization and asked for editors, and they put her in touch with me. And so I got to go there, but she looked for someone from San Antonio because she figured she could interact with somebody. And also I could take her masa.
Yeah. So a black woman from San Antonio made masa.
Yes.
So you had whale tamales, right?
That actually sounds awesome.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah, the last day I was there, I was leaving, and everybody was all a Twitter because a bear had wandered into town, a polar bear.
Oh crap!
Oh, wow. See that is
everybody was excited about. Because they were going to get to eat bear tonight.
Oh, okay. Oh that's
and I had to leave before I got
awesome.
Bear.
And,
yeah,
that is.
Did
awesome.
You eat polar bear?
I did not get to eat polar bear.
Damn it!
I had to leave before they.
It could.
They were sharpening the knives as you were leaving.
Just hook up with some rich dentists or some 1%er, and I'm sure you can
they've eaten polar bear.
They don't eat bear. They just fucking take the skin and throw the rest of the meat in the
They'll eat a
exotic
a loaf.
Meats is what it's called.
Yeah.
They only eat panda, though.
Yeah. Richest man in the world.
Who the hell's going to eat polar bear?
Yeah.
Unless you start.
Crying into his panda soup because money doesn't buy you everything.
That's my panda, though.
This panda soup isn't helping at all.
Bloop, bloop. This panda's soup. It's not good for the soul.
don't know what you guys are talking about.
Chicken soup.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for joining us. This is going
to
be podcast. No, this is the end of the intro segment. Okay. But where can people follow you and find your work and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, on Twitter and the Instagram, I am Mr. Pete.
M-I-S-T-A?
M-I-S-T-A-H.
A-H, okay.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Pay the price. And because Facebook is an asshole, it's Pete Mista. They needed a first name in front.
Weird.
Right.
Really?
Well, you got
I did Meester.
That's right, guys. So
I've tried to go back and change it back since they made me change it, but they won't let me do it. Well,
so, guys, be on the lookout. Go to Amazon. It's a good price. Read Bunk, B-U-N-K, exclamation point. Written by Pete Barnstrom and Jamie Nash, guys. Bunk. I can't wait to give a review and see what Mikey thinks about it.
Oh, yeah. I hope you will, please.
Yeah, and it's going to be really, really fun, and this podcast is going to be a blast. Thank you so much, Pete.
Also, the cover art is by Gracie Taylor, who is from San Antonio. So
That's awesome. So shout out to Gracie Taylor.
She's a young art student in town and daughter of a friend of mine. So I asked her, please, to do that.
That's a
really good cover.
And now she's got a book cover. Really that's the cover. Coolest thing
I'm officially ever. Judging your book by its cover because it's so awesome. That's right. So check out Bunk on Amazon.com, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Pete, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jess, what's going on today in Nerd World?
Hey, everybody. It's time for another exciting edition of Yeah, we're looking at that. A segment where I talk about movies and games and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners after hearing about said junk is going to be, yeah, I'm looking at that. So this week we're talking about the upcoming movie Blade of the Immortal. It is the 100th movie directed by a Japanese director, Takashi Miike, who is mostly famous for the films Audition and the Dead or Alive films, 13 Assassins, another samurai film. Yeah. 100 movies. I don't even think I've seen 10 of them at best. And so that's an incredible achievement of him just cranking out all types of movies. So Blade of the Immortal is his 100th film based on a long-running manga in Japan that actually did make its way over here. I remember Dark Horse released it, and it was made into an anime, and now he has made a film adaptation, Blade of the Immortal. It is about a samurai who cannot die, who can be chopped up into pieces, but still re-heal himself. And a woman meets him and calls upon his services to avenge the death of her family by a rogue swordsman clan. And from what I can tell, from what I have read, and from what I have seen from the trailer, it is a god-awful, bloody mess in the very most best possible way, which is what Takashi Miike is pretty much known for as pushing the limits in terms of on-screen violence. And I won't say his last film, but the film 13 Assassins, if you haven't seen that, that's on Netflix. It is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, 13, I saw
it's
that
really solid. It's really cool. And if this is just a small taste of what this kind of, that kind of movie will be, highly looking forward to it. So without further ado, we'll actually go on to the topic that this movie inspires. And the topic is going to be, what is your favorite sword fight that has ever been captured onto film? Blade of the Immortal is going to have lots of hack and slash action. Like I said, like 13 Assassins. I can't wait to see it. It kind of pops the question of, what are some of your favorite sword fights that have been featured in movies over the 100 plus years of films? I will kick it off. And in the vein of Blade of the Immortal being based off a manga, which was also adapted into an anime. The thing that I'll kind of bring up to mind, one of my favorites, is from the film Ninja Scroll. Yeah. It's an anime film. The entire film is questionably a giant sword fight with very little breathing room in terms of the action, but the particular fight is in the middle. It's like the first, I don't know, 15 minutes of the film, and it is a ninja raid on this villain named Tyson, and he's this giant stone man throwing this like boomerang blade, and it is ingenious. It is bloody. It is graphic. There's not a whole lot of things I've seen like that ever. Like in a, it's almost like it's the anime cliche almost, pretty much.
Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, Ninja Scroll. Yeah. But for the time it came out, it was really pushing the boundaries of style and violence, and it is an amazing sword fight. It is flashy. It is just unbelievable. So if for some weird reason you have not seen Ninja Scroll,
Whether you
I've
like,
seen Ninja Scroll.
You've seen Ninja Scroll?
And I like Ninja Scroll.
Yeah.
Seen Ninja
Scroll. Yeah. Pete, you ever seen Ninja Scroll?
I have not seen
It is one of the anime films that transcends, I
own Ninja Scroll.
That transcends the media in terms of like, oh, I don't like anime because anime is like what people perceive as anime is the cutesy. Yeah, exactly. Or over
eat my whale.
There you go. It is one of those things that transcends the medium and it's very like I think enjoyable for anyone, even for someone who doesn't like those type of films. It's just a great short animated film. It's about like 60 minutes long. It's over before you know it. But the action in that movie is just like hard to top. It is
super cool.
Incredible. Super, very cool.
Mm-hmm. What's the title again?
Ninja Scroll.
Ninja Scroll.
Ninja Scroll. Yeah. Inspired by the fictional hero character, Yagyu Jubei. This is like a Japanese, like the
he's
best
a
way
rabbit,
to describe
right,
it.
From Ninja Turtles?
He's like, Usagi Yojimbo, yeah.
Yeah,
Yagyu Jubei is almost like, I guess the way, I guess you could say like a Davy Crockett, a real character, but has been immortalized through fable and all that kind of good stuff. So it's yet another interpretation of that character. Very, 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 very cool.
I'm just going to go, I don't know, because there's a lot and there's all sorts of...
Yeah, exactly.
One, I don't know what my favorite is, though. There's a bunch, because yeah, you threw an anime.
I picked
you threw
out
an
one.
Anime and then that adds more. That's kind of not fair. But I'm just going to go with super typical. I'm going to go with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Super simple one. But the only reason I like that one is because it wasn't just a sword fight. It's the one where, what's her name with the Jade Destiny or whatever? And they're in sort of the dojo and she goes around picking up all the other weapons and like fighting her with that one sword and she keeps like.
She's besting her with just that one sword yeah, every single style.
I love that. Like, yeah. Only because. She used all the other weapons. Like, it wasn't just a sword on sword fight. It was a sword on
spear,
mace, those other things. Like, all the different cool weapons that you've ever wanted to see used were all used in that one scene. And they were all bested by the friggin' Jade Destiny sword.
Sword of Destiny. Jade Sword of Destiny.
Yeah.
Jade Sword. Sword
Pick
of Destiny.
Pick of Destiny.
Pick of Destiny.
But yeah, that was really, I don't know. That was just, like, super cool because it was. For me, it wasn't even the sword fight. It was just that me as a kid going like, oh, that'd be fun to use. Oh, that'd be fun to use. Oh, that'd be – you'd see like in a bunch of other movies, they'd have these other ones, these other weapons. And you'd be like, oh, I wonder how you use that one or oh, I wonder how you do that. And then this was one scene where you got to see like all of those weapons being used. And I don't know. That was just really cool. I
thought. And in Greenland, he's now known as Chow Whale Fat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were.
I haven't seen Crouching Tiger in a long time. I've been meaning to see it again.
Yeah,
it was nice. I liked it.
I saw the dragon. It wasn't
very, very pretty movie, but that particular scene was cool as hell. But there's a lot, man.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
I have a basic bitch answer that I kept
and
trying.
That's fine.
I kept trying to like go and like be cool and you know like impressive or whatever. So I'm going to save impressive. That for my honorable mention. Okay. So my basic bitch answer is Kill Bill. And I kept going through my old school repertoire of sword fights. And there's been some badass sword fights in a lot of like my favorite movies and stuff like that. But I gotta go with Beatrix Kiddo fighting the crazy 88s because that, I mean, is amazing.
Yeah, that's fun.
Fucking amazing.
And that's also great same choreographer.
Oh, as Crouching Tiger?
It's Wu Ping, that's like one of the big things about Kill Bill.
Whooping your ass.
And honorable mention, because this was going to be my answer, is Robin Hood Men in Tights. I'm going to, and that's an honest parry, thrust, good. I love Robin Hood Men in Tights. I could watch that over and over and over again. And it's a particular sword fight between Cary Elwes and Richard Lewis. Which I think was just, not Richard Lewis. No, it wasn't Richard Lewis. It was the Sheriff of Nottingham. It was that.
Is that Roger Rees?
I think it was. It was, you know, for the unlocked a chastity belt. And it was what I liked most about it, you know, cause Kill Bill was whooping and it was cool and it was supposed to be cool. The thing about Men in Tights is that it was silly,
But the sword fighting choreography was really, really good. Even though it was silly, it was still legitimately
choreographed.
Yeah, choreographed, yeah, exactly. Which I've always been a fan of. Things are funnier when they're done well, like Tenacious D. So my honorable mention is Robin Hood, but you can't get cooler, in my opinion, than Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing basic about that shit.
Yeah. Basic bitch shit.
It's pretty good, and it reminds me of... the Daffy Duck sword fight, which is also
the Spirit great Magic Helmet.
No, that's Bugs. It was, he did the Robin Hood one.
Oh, yes.
And Robin Hood's fantastic. And the Errol Flynn versus Basil Rathbone thing is really great.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, though, when I was a kid, we had this neighborhood theater, which they don't do this anymore, but repertory theaters that would just show old movies.
Right.
And they would show... they showed an old Barrymore film.
Drew Barrymore?
No.
That's her dad, right?
John Barrymore.
Yeah.
John Barrymore. And it was, I think it was John Barrymore as Zorro.
Oh.
Right? Oh, wow.
And who's more Mexican? But,
but Zorro's Spanish.
He would have these incredible fights up these stone staircases and swinging on the chandeliers and all that sort of stuff and diving off of some things. It was the most amazing stuff. And it was, you know, it was all Jackie Chan shit.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have CGI or stuntmen back then. He just did that stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was really informative in my
Zorro,
in my
good
childhood.
Good answer. I forgot all about Zorro. Yeah, yep. The sword fighter.
Hell yeah.
Good answer. Grant?
I'm going to go with a bitch answer too, but it's actually, I liked it and I grew up watching it. And I was like, okay, I really like this, was Highlander.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Ooh. I loved Highlander, and I loved the sword fight between them. It was like they had a reason to have a sword fight. I love how that's just what you do. It's not like you take out a gun and shoot anybody. You cut their head off. And that was the only way, like, one of you had to die. And I was like, okay, that's just awesome. So the stakes are high. And then you have Gergen, who was just a really great villain, you know, in the past and then in the present again. You know, I was like, okay, this is just awesome. And then what happens to them when they die? I was like, I wish real people died like that, where their dead, decapitated body floats in the air, and then a bunch of
it will for you.
Yeah,
and Brand, probably. Right? Yeah, if there's one person,
I was going to say, and Brant's been trying. right? They don't float, man.
Yeah, you see a surveillance cam of me just going up to some random person, and you kind of look like me, whack, and then they just bleed to death and like just fall over, and I go, oh,
just walk off sulking.
Fuck
yeah! There was lights or
like
nothing.
Feeling sorry for yourself, like a true psychopath would. Right?
Exactly.
Things never go my way.
Aww. Queen didn't play in the background or anything.
Yeah, why does this happen to me?
I'm surprised you didn't talk about lightsaber fights.
Well, you know what,
boss,
I will say this. Out of all the lightsaber fights, as much as I hated Phantom Menace and all the prequels, that
Darth Maul?
Yeah, that was pretty hard to top. And also,
that was pretty cool.
The perfect music to play also. I was like, right. okay, if you only shown me that part and said, hey, are you going to watch the rest of the movie? I'd say, well, fuck yeah. And then I'd feel absolutely gypped. Yeah. But that was a really good scene.
All right, I only saw half of that part.
Oh!
You're very happy with yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm in a deep depression, and there's a black cloud over me constantly, and I wish that I didn't wake up every morning. I lived through the humor of my friend.
Well, you got good friends.
Didn't feel good about saying that either.
Speaking of Facebook friends... Answers on Facebook. Stephen Colton says Princess Bride. Inigo Montoya versus the Man in Black.
It was a wonderful sword fight.
It's a very great good one. Robbie Tuarte said if lightsabers count,
yep,
then Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Darth Maul.
There it is.
Cesar Portillo says if Game of Thrones counts, then Tower of Joy.
You know what?
Sure.
Yes.
It's great. It's really thematically very cool.
It's not a movie.
Does it count?
It's a film.
Question is, what is your favorite sword fight in a film?
Jesus Christ.
Sean film.
We should delete it. I wish I could delete that answer. Samantha Lyons Rick says, the fight between two female characters in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
Travis K says, if animation counts, I'd pretty much say all of Afro Samurai. It doesn't count because it's not a film, Travis. Read the questions. I know you're listening. It said film. Ryan Timothy Brace says Connor McLeod versus the Kurgan.
Yeah.
The Kurgan? He also, there can only be one. And check this out. Ryan Timothy Brace, RTB, says also the Bride versus Oren and Crazy 88s. Yeah. So that's like two of the answers.
I guess.
We're hive-minded over here.
Yeah. Two films that he chose. Travis. Andrew Thomas says, I'm going to cheat and say Finn and Rey versus Kylo Ren. The emotion was high. The emotion was high with the two trying to avenge Han Solo's death. It felt very raw and brutal.
There's no cheating.
Everyone knows. Albert Preciado says, Equilibrium. Starts with an ambush, ending with Christian Bale slicing Taye Diggs' face off.
Equilibrium.
I've seen that once.
Yeah, yeah. Taye Diggs had it coming.
That's gunfighting, isn't it?
There's a sword fight.
Yeah, for sure. In that movie, yeah.
Carlos Castro says, Advent Children, Final Fantasy VII, Cloud versus Sephiroth. Wow, that is a film.
It is a film, and it's pretty knockout, pretty awesome.
Yeah, Gabe Diaz says, Finn, the short fight when he gets the lightsaber in Force Awakens, kid had heart.
Yeah.
All right. And Alfred Press says, hard to decide. Wesley versus Inigo Montoya. Princess Bride came up first, though. So, a couple of Princess Brides.
Thematically, yeah. It's not even, again, not just the actual choreography, but the scene itself.
Yeah, it's just a fun
amazing.
Scene.
Amazing. It's really very it's fun. Really
good. And I'm surprised that none of us chose a samurai movie other than the closest is Kill Bill. I'm surprised none of us of all.
Well, that's what my answer was, the Ninja Scroll.
Yeah. Well, shout out, if I may. To Kung Fu Hustle, and I know what sword, but the guitar swords.
Yeah, I don't count that as a sword fight.
That was awesome.
An amazing fight.
Skeletons
holding swords, but it wasn't swords. Sword it was fight.
And they were throwing swords.
It was just sound.
And they were ditching. They were dodging swords.
It was just sharp sound, bro.
There were swords.
That was not a sword fight because he was not fighting with a sword.
It was cool as hell, though.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah,
amazing sword fight.
So, what movie are we supposed to watch?
You should look out for Blade of the Immortal. It should be coming out November 3rd in select theaters, and more than likely, it will be video on demand celebrating the 100th film of Takashi Miike. You will spend all your money in there in his little cameo in Hostel. It's also something you could look out for him. So, Blade of the Immortal. Yeah, I'm looking at that.
And now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
This is where I talk about being a father. We end up talking about growing up. I have two guests. Brant, I know that you are not a dad.
I am not a dad and that I know of.
Pete, hey. And Pete, are you a father, sir?
I definitely am.
Awesome. Okay, and we are still outnumbered because Brant was here.
Yay, thanks, Brant!
All right. We're usually outnumbered, my friend. So I think I've the dads have outnumbered the non-dads, I think, maybe once.
No, it's been like twice, I think.
Yeah, and so, Pete, if you don't mind sharing, you know, how many kids, how old are they?
Absolutely. No, I have a 15-year-old boy, and he's... not going to be listening to this podcast, I hope.
Yep.
Because he is such an asshole. You haven't gotten to 15 yet, boy. It is rough.
Oh.
That, yeah, 15. No, I'm not looking forward to that.
Has he started, like, you know, I know more than you? Like, has he been confrontational?
He's right about everything, but he's failing all his classes. So, so I'm trying to stand back and let him fail. And just that's one of the problems with the school system, is at least for white kids, is that they don't let you fail.
I've noticed that.
Jesus Christ. He's been about to repeat a grade every year for the past 3 years.
And he does.
Hasn't done it because the teachers say, but he's got good heart and he's so social. And, okay, fine.
But I think it's a good thing because I think when you get held back, then, you know, I think that the more important thing looking back is the socialness.
Well, there's no other reason to go to school.
Yeah.
That's all. The
stuff that you're learning, you're never going to use again, essentially. But when you're held back, you're around a bunch of people that you feel younger than, and then you feel dumb.
Yeah.
And I think that it takes, you know, a real person that really needs to repeat all that bullshit that they teach you. So I'm all for pushing dumb kids through.
Yeah. And honestly, though, there's no reason to go to high school.
No.
High school's bullshit. I learned to type. That's what I learned in high school. And once I did that, I could have dropped
out.
Holy
crap.
Man, life would have been so much
easier. See, and I went to Catholic school, so I got a lot of theology classes in, so I just know how to argue. That's really what I was like, no, you can't say that about Leviticus, because if you read Gospel of John, you can just like throw it right back in your faces, and it's, whoa, Leviticus is the Old Testament. Yeah, but that's what Jesus believed, and that's what you got to believe. And so you got a 15-year-old son. Any other kids?
Nope, just the 15-year-old and every other goddamn kid in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, because he's social.
I've got that house.
Yeah.
I've got a garage full of instruments. And,
awesome. Yeah.
And have very understanding neighbors.
That's great. That's great. Does your son play an instrument?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he plays everything. He's got guitar, saxophone, drums, everything. He believes there is no instrument he can't play, and I've yet to stump him. So
that's great, dude. That is so cool.
I need to get him some bagpipes or something.
My daughter was in strings. We just bought her a bass for her birthday.
Oh, cool.
And man, does it look cool sitting in her room. it's just this cool ass bass with a bass amp and a PA. When her friends come over, they're like, wow, you look like you can play the bass.
That bass looks cool.
Yeah, exactly. She
wants to come over and jam.
Oh,
we can do that.
I'm saying, she'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing, and then quit. and then we'd pass her, and then she'd be in a band. So
I've been a big fan of his son for years. He's a really, really bright kid. He's really very talented. He's got all the gifts.
He thinks Brand is Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah. Every son loves Brand.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, my son Gunnar, he's seven. If anyone has a beard, he's like, is that Brant Bumpers? Right? He's not Brant. He's Brant Bumpers.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a first and last name thing. And
absolutely.
So anytime my son does anything video game or Star Wars related, it's, does Jess know about this? And what about Brant Bumpers? And then if we're buying cheese puffs, he's like, Regan owes me cheese balls.
Yep.
Regan is cheese balls.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings up my topic of I know we've done it in the past, but I think it's due for a redo.
Absolutely.
Is cast a superhero movie that hasn't been made yet. And the reason why I'm saying that is because everything going on with DC, with all the Justice League stuff and the Suicide Squad and the universe that they're trying to build, I think it's pretty interesting, to see the parallels of the Aquaman and Thor parallel, I think is very kind of obvious, right? Aquaman was a boring comic book character. No one really fucking liked Thor. Sorry. You could disagree with me, but I didn't like Thor or Aquaman. And so now they're making him good looking and cool as fuck. And then they're just skipping Green Lantern, just throwing Cyborg in there. And I think that is because of Teen Titans. I really, really do.
Absolutely.
Which
is cool, by the way.
I think it's cool as shit, but, it's like, well, I guess they failed with that Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds and also to have a African-American in the team, which Cyborg was part of the Justice League.
There's also,
John Stewart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For Green Lantern as well. So I think it's more of it's straight up more of a fact that they didn't make Green Lantern work. It's too soon for them to incorporate that, and then also Teen Titans having an installed base of kids that watched it when it was a fresh thing, or adults now. It's the whole perfect thing of, well, I saw this as a kid, now my kid can go see this.
No, well, my son's excited to see a movie's Cyborg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's working. We just recently saw Wonder Woman. What'd you guys think of Wonder Woman?
I love Wonder Woman.
Yeah. It's all right. I just didn't like the end.
But yeah, that's going to be a little stronger. But I love it. It was multiply great.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I missed it too. I wanted to.
It's okay. It's like Clint Eastwood. It's not bad. It's not bad. It reminded me of the first Captain America.
Yeah, of course.
Like and I know it was intended to or whatever, but I thought it was pretty cool. So it made, Gunnar wonder about Wonder Woman, and actually, cause he didn't want to see it cause he thought it was a girl movie. And that is not an installation of us. It's just that is for some reason just a natural thing.
I do think that is absolutely natural.
Yeah. Cause I am not, I'm the one getting mad at him. Like, there's no such thing as girl or boy movies, he just didn't want to watch it cause it was a girl movie. And so then he watched it and it was really action packed, like they say in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And he really enjoyed it. And so it made me think it took this long for a Wonder Woman movie to come out. I mean, honestly, it's 2017, mm-hmm. and they've been making superhero rehashes and stuff like that for, what, 20 years, you'd say?
Oh, wait.
Roughly
like
17 years?
Define when, because they've been making superhero movies for 30 years, but the hot streak, the real hot streak
started
is...
with Spider-Man, maybe?
Blade. No. That, again, the streak in terms of streak. A hot streak is Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man.
Sure.
Iron Did Spider-Man Man, go come before
Spider-Man?
Iron Man
came good, but we're talking widespread streak of nonstop comic book movies. It's
Iron Man started a universe,
right?
The universe,
but it also started. It started like Spider-Man movies were successful because, but that you can go back to Batman, and you can go back to these other movies.
Well,
but
because
in terms of nonstop superhero movie making money hand over fist, after the other, it's Iron Man.
Iron Man. I would have to say, because I remember working in theaters when X-Men came out.
Right.
Right? You know, so then X-Men came out, their success there, and then they did Spider-Man. And then Spider-Man was like, what, 02?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then X-Men was 99, and then 02. And then you had that string of, and Punisher, and all those Marvel movies that were.
And Blade.
Were right,
and,
right. And Blade, yes. So it made me think, okay, so they've done so many rehashes. They've done so many, you know, new movies. You know, what superhero movie do you think that they need to do? And I think that the Marvel Universe and bleeding into Netflix and everything like that is so expansive and people are so used to the canon and they get it. I think it's time for a what-if movie. I think it's time for a what-if movie with starring The Watcher, which were my favorites. Do you remember the what-if series from
Marvel?
Yeah,
of course.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think that, you know, like Captain America, I forgot the actor's name.
Chris Evans?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was Human Torch.
Right.
Right. But then he became, you know, Captain America, and no one said shit. So I think that Peter Dinklage... should go from playing the guy who invented the what are they called?
Sentinels.
The Sentinels from the X-Men. Yeah. Should go to the Marvel Universe and play the Watcher and then fuck up currently made movies with what-ifs.
That's a cool idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great damn would be a perfect idea. The spirit, though, of what-if would be nice is all the Marvel one-shots that come with the actual movies, because those are fun.
Yeah.
But I like for them to take that one step further and to kind of literally do, like, what if.
Like, like the shit movies. Like, what if Ghost Rider wasn't Nicolas Cage? Like, you know, like, what if Ghost Rider was, like, just pick anyone else? And then they get to redo Ghost Rider.
Like, the two Thor shorts, they're one-shots, and they're essentially, like, what if Thor had a normal roommate? And they're really funny. They're really well done.
What if Ben Grimm wasn't the thing?
Yeah, they star Chris Hemsworth. Like, to me, those shorts that they've had included for, like, the past... you know, several movies that they kind of throw on as a bonus. They're they're fully produced short films produced by Marvel.
Yeah.
To me, that's in the spirit of What If. It just needs now.
I've
the
never
moniker,
seen those. That's awesome.
What If? Because there's great ones. There's one, I don't know when exactly it started, but one that stuck out to me, like, oh, they should do this more often, is when Avengers came out. So when Avengers came out and it came out on Blu-ray, there's a short included with it about these group of people that found one of the Chitauri weapons.
Yes, I remember that.
And they're
robbing
banks with them.
Yeah.
And it's just a one-shot thing what would it be like if people found the rummage of the thing? It's funny because that's a reoccurring theme for
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, but also the TV show series.
Yeah, the
people
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
People selling bootleg tapes.
Spider-Man, too. There's Spider-Man also.
Spider-Man Homecoming. Like in the TV series, the Netflix series, they have, like, people in Harlem selling bootleg videos of the incident in New York.
Like 9/11?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what that's like. But just those ones, like, to me, when they started making those, the first thing I thought of was, like, oh, these are cool because they're like what-if one-shots. Because the Thor ones with his roommate are straight up,
that's a what-if.
They're straight up what-if. Super funny, super still. Again, you know that's not exactly what's happening to Thor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a funny... what if Thor was living with a New Zealand roommate and he had nothing to do and no one called him? You know, like watching that is seeing a what if made into a
film. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I think that if they made the what if movies that I'm talking about, like a creep show,
like a
bunch of shorts,
like an anthology collection. Yeah,
yeah. I think that would be fun. That's what I'm waiting for. I think the universe has been established enough that we can have fun with it.
Yeah, the Netflix series.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
a great idea for a Netflix series.
Yeah,
it really is.
I'd watch it.
The comic book I've always wanted to adapt is a book called Flaming Carrot. Which,
Flaming Carrot.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely, great answer.
But in the spirit of sort of a more mainstream, I definitely want to see Lobo with Brant Bumpers.
Fucking A, dude.
They've always talked about, for years and years, they're always like, they're going to make a Lobo movie. They're going to make a Lobo movie with them. They never do. But yeah, absolutely. All right, Brant.
Would Flaming Carrot have Ninja Turtles in it?
No, I think I'd do it strictly as just a regular guy with a stupid costume in the real world.
In the real
world? Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say they should make a Lobo movie. I was honestly going to say that because I've always loved the Lobo comics.
And especially. Who were you going to cast?
Actually, I was actually thinking about who would actually be a good Lobo. Now, I would definitely play him if nobody else wanted to.
But I digress.
Yeah. If it wasn't me and it was someone that was actually already ready to go built, it'd probably be... Just because I like seeing people play opposite of what you would think they can do, John Cena. I'd like to see John Cena play Lobo.
Oh, wow.
And if you think about it, he probably
going,
could.
Not going Rain
Wilson?
No. Roman Reigns. I don't know what that dude looks like.
Yes, Rain Fish Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Okay, that guy is obviously Lobo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's already Lobo just right now.
That guy wouldn't even have to act, yeah.
Yeah, he's already Lobo right now. Have you seen that gif of him throwing that axe into that fucking target and then just taking a sip of his beer?
No, that sounds awesome.
That's what he does. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
It's guys playing Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not Roman Reigns. It's fucking...
Jason Momoa.
Lisa Bonet's dude.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy is also obviously Lobo.
He's with Lisa Bonet?
Yeah.
Yes.
With Lisa Bonet.
Damn it.
They have what they call feral kids.
They must.
And like, they interviewed him on this, like, on a television show, and he's just like, we love to fuck. And he said that, like, on TV.
There
and
can be no more beautiful children.
I'm serious. Yeah.
That's, I mean, each one must look like Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. So, but you didn't cast Flaming Carrot. Who would you cast?
The late Frank Gorshin, obviously.
But you can't. He's late.
Oh, I suppose.
Well, CG him. They'll just make him into CG.
He's in the mask all the time. Who would know?
Is that Galifianakis?
As a Flaming Carrot?
I have no idea. That would be a hard one because he's so deadpan and insane. I don't know. Maybe Rainn Wilson.
He'll be Flaming Carrot.
Yeah, he could work.
I wanted to do, again, in the spirit of what if, I wanted to kind of, I don't know if it'd be like straight up, it would be a short film or maybe it'd be just this off film, but Marvel had this character called the Scourge.
Yeah?
Not the Scourge, who's a Thor character, no. But the Scourge.
Yeah.
The Scourge.
A.K.A. the Eraser.
Yeah. So the Scourge.
I remember that fuck.
The Scourge pre-Punisher was this character that came out that felt that superheroes didn't have a place in the universe. I think that was his motivation. And he would come out and just. Murder.
No. He'd just shoot people.
He'd shoot these Marvel characters. And really what he was a comic book device to say, we can't write for this dumb character anymore. Let's have the Scourge come out.
The Scourge. Just kill him.
And so what does the Scourge look like? He is a relatively buff kind of regular dude with kind of, you know, blonde hair, a black shirt that says Scourge on the front. Like he hand wrote Scourge on his shirt and he'd just shoot, we can't write for, Radioactive Man or whatever. And then he would just...
Oh, Scourge! Dead!
And so, that guy's dead now because the Scourge killed him. So, and again, in a what-if type of universe and playing with the whole, it's been like we've used this person before, I would go with Thomas Jane, who played the Punisher, to play the Scourge because he looks like the Scourge. But the Scourge is like, the Punisher really is like... to me, like, well, it's taking the Scourge and making a really cool character out of him as opposed to just a literary device to just write off comic book heroes. I would have him just be this one-shot type of thing. And it would just be a comical film of having, like, very Lego Batman type of thing. Yeah, one of the best jokes was this throwing this cavalcade of, like, Batman villains, but then making up like a bunch of them in the mix, and it was the joke of like, which one of these are real and which ones did we just make up? And it was like, I don't know. So it'd be like that kind of game of just a bunch of, a shitload of like Marvel underlings represented briefly and have the Scourge come out in a coffee room shooting them down. Like that would be, to me, a really fun movie. But yeah, Thomas Jane would have to play the Scourge. Yeah, because he looks like him.
And shout out to my favorite, you reminded me of my favorite What If, is What If the Punisher killed the Marvel Universe, which is a heavy fun.
Well, it ended up not being a What If, and they turned it into an actual real comic book.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh,
it's straight up. But a lot of people, I never read it, but I was reading up, like, because the new Punisher series coming out, and I was like, oh, like, what's some Punisher stories never read? And it's, you know, I was like, oh, I laughed, because, like, that was a What If. But a lot of people didn't like it because of just how ridiculous it is. Yeah. But it really is like Frank Castle murdering.
Yeah, all just of getting the, super depressed. Yeah, and
murdering all the Marvel characters. They're,
you've killed all of our heroes. Not all of them. There's just one left. Yeah. And then fucking. Ah, so metal, dude.
What did you think of the Lexi Alexander Punisher?
The, was it the.
The Warzone?
The Warzone? Yeah. Like, it, if, like, again, like, if it was. Like. If it was a different movie, I'm like, oh, this would be fun. But as in terms of, like, it tiled it way too far. Like, the Thomas Jane movie, I like Thomas Jane, but the movie's like, burr, like a little too real. We should have had a little bit more this. And then Warzone was like, too much the other way. So it's kind of a fun movie, but as a just Punisher movie, just kind of like, I don't know.
To me, Warzone just had too much blood sound. I don't know. If you watch that movie, if you watch that movie and listen to like every time he shot someone in the head, or there'd always be a
punched his fist through somebody's head.
Yeah, just a lot of blood sounds in that movie.
Yeah, for me, I was rooting for Thomas Jane to go. Oh, they can make another Punisher movie, but make it like really good this time. Yeah. And then it never.
Now it's going to be the Netflix series.
That's that'll be the next one, which is I'm totally fine with.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I like that guy.
I'm going to go with something that has been. Made into a TV show, but it used to be a manga, but it was made into a show called One Punch Man. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah.
It's absolutely super cool and super hilarious at the same time.
Yes.
And it is a story about a superhero who is pretty much the strongest superhero in the universe. And he's just kind of bored of it because there's no one that. He lives in a world of superheroes and supervillains and super monsters, but he's the strongest of them all. And because he's the strongest of them all, he's just really bored. And it's really funny. And the manga was really funny. And they did a really good job turning it into a anime because it's just as funny. It's just as cool. The action is amazing. And sort of like what they did with Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
Like turning it into a really legit, fun, but funny, but really great action.
Right, right.
Film like with human beings starring in it, I think that One Punch Man could be such a fun, cool as hell live action film. But I don't know enough Japanese actors to know who would play One Punch Man, who's just this kind of actually a normal looking dude. He's not buff. Right. He's actually just a normal looking. Well, he's bald. He's just bald headed, normal looking guy, like completely monk bald, shiny headed. He lost all of his hair for some reason once he became super powerful. But I don't know enough actors. I don't know enough Japanese actors.
Like, the casting couch would be, well, like Blade of the Immortal, the main actor that plays in it is apparently in Japan, it did okay. But a lot of people thought it did do super good because the main actor was like a part of a boy band, essentially. And the boy band broke up almost as a result of him being cast in this movie. So it's a whole thing of like, well, I don't want to see this movie because of this. This super group broke up. And so, but I think on the, like, for One Punch Man, that would be the way to go, is to get like a J-pop star, shave him bald, where people will just go fucking like, oh, holy shit, and like, I think
that'll get headlines enough when you shave the dude bald.
Right, yeah, because that's what I'm really waiting for, is for them to, like, to do, like, anime or manga-adapted movies with Hollywood budgets, but have them Japanese productions, because their effects work is just, the movies in Japan don't make that much money, so it's not worth the giant investments American movies do. So then that's why you have, like, Attack on Titan, where it's like, oh, it's a huge idea, but they have it on limited budget. And then when you see it turn into film, you're like, oh, this looks like, really, you know. So hopefully, fingers crossed, the Full Metal Alchemist movie that's coming out, I have like super high hopes, because
that's
really cool.
Sort of the, you know, whitewashing thing where, well, maybe if you just made it in America, like you made One Punch Man as an American, everyone would get pissed off. But then if you had Ryan Gosling star as One Punch Man,
that would be good. The opportunity for that should have been Full Metal Alchemist, because it's a bunch of European characters.
True. Yeah, yeah.
But then the whole cast is Japanese. Playing Europe, they didn't change their names. They're European characters, which is hilarious, because it's like my whole big thing of like, yes, there's a genuine criticism for a lot of films being whitewashing with Ghost in the Shell and that stuff, but
that one shouldn't have been.
Yeah, and it's like that one. Well, also if they're so adamant about that, they need to be shoving that movie down everyone's throat. Like, okay, like you didn't like Ghost in the Shell, you didn't like the casting choices for Hellboy, but they changed that. Here's a film of a bunch of white people played by Japanese people. You should be doing everything in your power to have this movie seen by America, but they're not.
Yeah.
Like, so, anyways.
Yeah white man. People, bro.
What did Facebook say?
Richard Morgan says, Danger Mouse. There isn't any way you can make any actor into a credible Danger Mouse with prosthetics and makeup, though. So I'd cast Ice-T, seeing as he already did that stupid kangaroo thing with Tank Girl. Girl.
Good call.
Ice-T wouldn't mind, and the voice would be would add a new spin on it too. Danny DeVito as Penfold, Brian Blessed as Colonel K.
Yeah. A minute.
All right.
Look at it, just like
Danger Mouse is on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a new one, right?
No.
No, yeah, it's classic. The old ones, yeah. They should do like a CG, like a, not real, like pseudo-realistic, but like
M10 or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. That would be cool.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah. Andy Serkis could be everybody.
He can play everybody.
Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
Stephen Colton says, I honestly think most comic book stories should be miniseries or full series. There's a couple graphic novels I'd like to see get made, like Superman, Red Sun. I'd want all new casts, since it's completely different twist on the Superman story, and I feel like it should have been Russian actors, but I don't know too many that would fit the bill. So, yeah, he doesn't know a bunch of Russian actors. God almighty.
That's not even an actor.
I know.
It's like you just said a character's name.
Yes.
God damn it.
He's Russian, man.
No, I guessed him.
Yeah. Robbie Duarte says Brave Star.
Oh yeah, my God. Okay.
That'd
be hilarious.
Oh my.
The bear, speed of the ant.
That was like speed of the puma.
Yeah, but I changed it all the time.
Brave Travis Star. K says Mantis was a short-lived TV show that I liked as a kid.
I remember that one.
It's an acronym, Mantis. And I would put Michael J. White in for Carl Lumbee.
Yeah, the pilot was directed by Sam Raimi.
Really?
Oh. If it wasn't directed by him, it was produced fully by him. But I think the pilot was directed by him. Yeah.
Andrew Thomas says, Robert Kirkman book, Invincible. It needs to be rated R like Deadpool. It's a coming-of-age story like Spider-Man, but if Uncle Ben was secretly an evil conqueror with Superman powers. A young Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be a good pick.
Cool.
Carlos Castro says, Irredeemable, answering the question of what if Superman snapped one day.
That's a great book.
Oh, that is.
Yep. Cool. Alfred Perez says, Red Sun. Superman crashes in Russia instead of the U.S. and is raised by the Soviets.
That's man. Starring Ivan Drago.
Yes. And Gabe Diaz says, a trilogy for the strange talent of Luther Strode, or an anthology Elseworlds series from DC. Trilogy for the strange talent of Luther Strode. Never heard of that, but
cool.
Sounds fun. Fucking
dork-ass answers. Nerds.
It's your question.
Ask a comic book question.
Nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm all pissed off.
Where all my jocks at?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Fucking dorks.
Nobody said another Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because if you're going reboot, it's time for another fucking Swamp Thing movie, goddammit.
Why wasn't that your answer?
Because it's been made twice. They made two Swamp Thing movies.
Return of the Swamp Thing and then
Breakfast at Swamp Thing.
Fucking Breakfast
at Swamp. I was gonna say, head into Blaxploitation Swamp Thing. Yeah.
Guess Swamp Thing. Guess what things come into the swamp? Something swamped this way comes. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Straight up Swamp Thing movie with fucking Constantine in it.
John Constantine.
John Constantine. That's where the character comes from. That's
a good idea, dude. Oh, and then there's that other comic book that I like that I forgot the name of it. The Stories of the Macabre.
Yeah, Criminal Macabre. That's not, well, I wouldn't, it's a comic, but not a superhero,
yeah,
per se.
Yeah,
otherwise, I would have probably said that. That was your answer.
Criminal Macabre. That was my answer
the first
time.
That was your answer
the
first time because it was comics, not so much superheroes. Yeah.
Right, so fuck me.
Dude, that was like 5 years ago. That's why I was like, we can do this topic.
It's time
to
rehash it.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Guys.
Speaking of hash.
Fucking hit that shit, dude. Hit that Haribo. Man, great. Pete brought a bunch of weed, guys, by the way.
Weed gummies?
So far, we've got sexism, racism, and not drugs.
Yeah. Because of you.
This is great.
Edibles from my bedibles. Oh.
Read my book, kids.
Yeah, I'd like to let you know that
parents.
Pete has nothing to do with it, right?
Yeah.
So, guys, if you have kids and they're into superheroes, you know, let them know that they'll never be superheroes. And if they want to be superheroes, donate to the Red Cross.
Give blood.
Give blood.
Yeah. Donate blood.
Yeah, just give blood. Just walk into a bank with a bag of blood. And if it's yours or not, you know, they need it. They'll be able to test for shit. I mean, they're doctors.
Just walk in with a bag of blood. This is for everybody.
Yeah, right. I'd like to make a withdrawal. raise your kids right. Or don't, you know, reading's fundamental, man, you know, so let them read comic books or be a dick, you know. Wait for the movie. You know what? Fuck books and reading. Just wait for the movie to come out and then be disappointed because it's nothing like the book.
Yeah, exactly. A book that you didn't read.
Be upset that it's nothing like a book that you never read.
Exactly.
Right. So parroting, fuck it.
Except my book.
You're walking out of the theater, I heard the book was better.
You know what comic I think they should make into a movie? Bunk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Here's the thing, though. It always starts
off.
But
who would you cast?
Who would I cast? Well, obviously, I'd play Mr. Pork.
Mr. Pork. Yeah. It was written for you.
So, parenting, fuck it.
All right. Now it's time for my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about stuff that is not funny. And today we are talking about robots. Specifically from an August 2017 journal put out by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. They developed a robot that learns to follow orders like Alexa,
Amazon Echo.
Computer scientists, they developed a Alexa-like system that allows robots to understand a wide range of commands that require contextual knowledge about objects and their environments. They dubbed the system Comtext for commands in context. So they made this robot that it kind of learns. So like it's watching you and it's got arms and you can say, this is my tool, I'm putting my tool down. And then you can say, like, this is a cup, I'm putting my cup down. And you tell the robot, pick up my tool, and it'll like pick it up. And so it learns, like it's learning as it's watching you, and it learns the context, but you kind of have to give it the context. So
Skynet went self-aware.
Almost. Well, they're not really. It's not even close. But for example, they said if you tell a robot that one box on the table has crackers and one box has sugar, and then ask the robot pick up the snack, it can pick up context and know that sugar is a raw material and therefore unlikely to be somebody's snack. So it also has like the internet in it, so it can actually learn, like it knows all of what essentially is on the internet. So it can kind of, you know how like terrible. When you tell Alexa, like, hey, I want to listen to, you know, a certain artist, it knows.
Playing Six Black Hawks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Siri. It's going to kind of deduce what.
Dirty Sanchez.
So it's kind of, it's not super self-aware, but it's pretty smart. But on a very kind of
robot level.
Yeah. Simple robot level. But it's pretty cool still, regardless. I think it's pretty neat that it's a learning robot. It's one day probably gonna kill us all.
For sure.
It's cute to watch it bring you random shit that you didn't ask for like a fucking toddler. It's like, I guess stop it.
Thanks for the spatula.
I just hope that they program no matter what. Always program robots to feel pain.
Why?
Like, why would they program me to feel pain?
These guys watch this on the stove.
No matter what, when they're coming up with that, make sure it feels pain, because at least if we're going to, like, go down or killed shame. By a bunch of robots, ooh, that would definitely hurt. Shame would actually probably do a lot worse if it felt shame. Because I just want to, always wanted to, like, hurt a computer.
I just wish people felt shame still.
No. Those days.
No.
Let watch me see this. That dick.
Dude, our president came up with the ultimate shame shield.
Ooh.
He doesn't ever feel it.
No, he doesn't.
Hot takes from Brent Bumpers. So it brings up my topic.
Fireside Talks.
My topic question was, if you could program a robot to do one thing, what would you program it to do? And the first thing I wanted to do was...
Happy, the hot take robot.
That's what you're going to program it to give hot takes.
Is weird.
Whoa!
No, Happy, he's learning.
Whoa. Donald Trump tweets today. What's his deal?
That's the hot take.
Your robot needs to be alive. He's leaning to the left. Whoa.
Right.
Whoa. If he only cared about health care, like he cares about the NFL. It's an algorithm. It just takes the two.
Yeah. Just the trend, all the trends.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Trends. Yeah. Isn't it crazy that Donald
it's now become the robot stand-up? No, it's the robot stand-up.
But
robot
all it's stand-up. Taking is what everyone's saying on the internet. I send thoughts and prayers to the victims of the mass shooting of...
Hey, guys, what's up with Harvey Weinstein?
No means no.
Like,
oh, shit, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I'd like to send my thoughts and prayers for the mass shooting victims of...
whatever trending horrible thing just happened yesterday.
No, whatever mass shooting just happened. Mass shooting's already programmed.
Exactly. Oh, that's a real thing. That's the real algorithm.
The recent victims of the mass shooting in Minneapolis.
The next day in South Dakota. Oh, God.
Everybody that's... give it up for our recently fallen brother. Tom Petty.
His music was loved by all.
Right? This is artist, which artist died? What did they used to do?
Yeah.
His movies will be forever missed.
Welcome to Sympathy Phone.
That's a real... Okay, let's do it. Come on.
To choose celebrity deaths, press one.
mass shootings.
To choose mass shootings, press two.
Political hot takes, press three.
Hi, welcome to...
Potpourri, press four.
Four. Hi, welcome to Sympathy Phone. Isn't it crazy that the Kardashians have a show?
Oh. All right, so we all know our answer now. What we would choose to make a robot do.
Give me hot takes. Hot takes on the fly.
And clapbacks. Have a clapback robot.
That's
robot,
option number six.
A robot that talks this.
A robot talking like that.
Don't talk shit unless you get dealt with.
Yeah, right. What? Don't start. No shit. Or won't be. No shit.
No, it's also got to tie in like a current event.
Of course.
Like
I ain't taking no knee for like it's like I ain't standing for no American anthem. And it's like, the next day, right. Maybe something else.
Until the president, Donald Trump. Because that can't be fucking.
Let's hope not. Yeah.
That's all right. So I guess
your
my
robot.
Originally, I was gonna have it just do my laundry because I hate laundry. It's the worst thing on earth. But then I
like robot hot takes.
Robot hot takes. Is
I think robot hot takes is the best one.
So we can stop this? Now.
Yeah, now after all the funny's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Light a match and burn the rest.
I was like, you know what? That'd make my life easier, right? Having a robot that can do my laundry. But what would make my life even easier is if I had a robot that just did my job.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's WALL-E, bro.
That's coming.
No, but here's the thing. It should. No, I know, right?
You so get
here's
fired, the thing, bro.
My job is I work at a high school with high school students, really? And I am there to help them pretty much with anything that has to do with college, whether it's admissions, financial aid, essay writing, all sorts of different stuff. but also to be there as a caring person who, you know, is involved in somewhat like counseling with their lives as well. So if you could create a robot that could actually do that, like not just like help them with their financial aid, but actually be there for them and be nice, it'd be really cool. But then also it would make all the money that I'm making, and then I would just reap the benefits because it's just doing my job.
That's what you would think until the fucking the man got wind of it and said, we don't need this flesh.
No, this robot is essentially my sugar daddy.
Oh, got it.
So it's
see?
Like your sugar proxy. Robot. It's like your proxy that shows up, does your job for you, and it represents you.
Yes.
As far as, but hey, you hired me to put that guy in there and doing the job, ooh, so I still get paid.
I talk to the
customers.
No, but the robot, the robot takes over the way you do your job.
Yes.
The robot is styled specifically off your construct. That's what makes that robot unique.
How old is your mom?
Oh, because in the financial aid, I need to know how old their parents are.
Is she cool?
Did you bring your permission slip to go to the Museum of Fine Arts?
Yeah, all that stuff, man.
It'd have to know.
It'd have to know the nuances of how to be just sarcastic enough to not really hurt their feelings, but to motivate them, which is a very fine line that I draw all the time with students.
Nice pants, haystack.
Why don't you get a summer job? It's like, yeah, that's a big fucking plus. Oh, a teenager that doesn't like to pull his equal share. What a big surprise.
I guess you're right.
Rolling on floor, laughing.
Other kids are lining up to take your spot for some guidance.
Man, he's so good.
Right? Yeah, it's like, goddamn, that guy just knows how to talk.
You're right, sir. And it's still called a robot, sir. Hey, sir. You're right, sir.
Hey, robot, sir.
You know what?
That was
like a good conversation, robot, sir.
You know what? Go ahead and drop out. The world needs more janitors.
Yeah.
I've never said Robot Regan would never.
Oh,
but robot. The problem is when it glitches and just out of nowhere, he did the monster mash. It starts to bring other things from your
It's doing a lesson plan. It's got a monster gash. The algorithm is just work-related things, so it would know never to say unwork-related.
Because I've never done
that at my job.
Right, okay.
So
based on your contract.
When you get home, ask your father where you can apply to be a ditch digger. I am sure he knows.
Oh gosh!
Like that's like the sarcasm that motivates him. I'm going to prove you wrong, robot sir.
I don't go to your father's job and slap the accounts payable out of his
out of his mouth.
Show me, don't tell me. Show me, don't tell me. Accounts payable.
So there's my robot. He just does my job. He's my sugar daddy, essentially.
Well, if I had a robot that could do whatever I wanted, I would have it do whatever Andy wanted so she could shut the fuck up. Andy's my wife. Explanation. Details. So it's, you know, one of those things where it's like you need to listen more and then also understand when to assume because I shouldn't have to tell you.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a complex algorithm right there.
The robot would be like, I don't understand. Are you being emotional or are you being serious right now? Right? And then like...
Say in a very scared voice, are you being serious?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Right. Yeah. I just want to make you happy. Right? Well, we don't have any money. Well, I will try to work more and get more hours for our finances. You're never home, but I am never home because I am making money for the
robot.
Shit, I need a new fucking answer robot. Wait, that wasn't you, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like,
shots fired.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I fucking Regan made this robot. Just like I programmed it with a bunch of try to like learn you, and you broke it.
How did I break it?
My fault.
And so it's my fault that I broke it. Please have her stop.
I am in robot afterlife, and I cannot leave this purgatory until she is happy.
So, but what would you be doing while...
I'm going to watch Dragon Ball Z video game clips with Gutter on Chromecast.
While this robot's in hell.
While this robot's
suffering.
You said chicken tenders, so I brought chicken tenders. Now all of a sudden you want fish sticks. Make up your mind, make up your mind, make up your mind. 0001000.
You are complaining that you are not losing weight, but yet you want me to go and buy lemon pies. Please answer
this poor
me.
Poor robot.
Yeah. I am trying to only do what you ask, but yet know what to do without you asking.
It is my... And you're just like, you're just on the couch, just like, I know, right, man?
Yeah, change the record.
It is my fault that chicken tenders from you means chicken nuggets when I arrive.
And it's the robot after a while. You know what? I give up. Do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. There's no making you happy. I'm just going to go to the room and watch Counting Dragon, Cars.
Watch Dragon Ball Z video clips with Larry and Gutter.
Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm a robot that has... complex algorithms programmed inside its motherboard, but yet you know more than me.
Your couch just fills up with you and passive-aggressive robots yourself. Yeah.
I think that's the robot's starting to throw in the towel. It's loosening its tie.
Right, exactly. You know, damn. One more word from you, and I swear to God I am leaving. Right, like you can't leave. Once you leave the door, then your battery dies. I do not care at this point. What more can I do? I can't do anything right.
You'll literally die as soon as you go out the front door. Thank you for telling me what I should be doing.
It just slowly dies, and then a bird shits on it, and then it just goes. Of course. That's about right.
Did it vocalize just so you can hear it slow down?
Before I go, I would just like you to know that I am programmed with every sort of sense, that every bit of common sense is programmed with me, and you have made none and destroyed me.
Oh, that's much worse than laundry.
Larry, your robot's stupid.
Yeah, your robot doesn't know shit. I actually know everything. Literally everything.
Except how to please this woman.
Red wire, blue wire, it's too much pressure.
All right. Any other answers?
I'm a very simple man with very simple
There
needs.
You go. What's it going to be, Jess?
Off-roading on the freeway.
No, I need like a robot to specifically clean up the aftermath of cooking. So not a robot to cook meals. God. I don't want it to take away the fun of that. I just want the robot to clean up the mess after the cooking. Because making
food... So do
food,
the dishes.
Yeah, but do the dishes. Not
what
just
a fucking dishwasher, man.
A dishwasher does not fucking do heavy pans. It doesn't. I'm talking about an actual robot that does, like, takes up... Not because you got the dishwasher, you got to put the dishes into the dishwasher. Fuck that. I want the robot to go up there, pick up the shit, throw the trash in the shit, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have a fucking needy robot to take care of my fucking needy wife. Pardon fucking me.
I wish there was a robot that would suck all the dirt off of this carpet.
Specifically clean the kitchen after you cook.
Yeah.
Not just washing the dishes. That's a dishwasher. I'm all talking about it goes up, it picks up the dishes, it shaves off the stuff, puts the shit in the fucking garbage disposal, has a tidy little kitchen for you so you can fucking make, you know,
puts the spices. Wings.
I mean,
that's spices.
Essentially my answer was going to be just a robot to put away the clothes after I fold them.
Exactly.
I hate doing that.
But
one.
That's be like specific because then you're just like, oh, you have a house cleaning robot. No, the robot specifically functioning.
You know what?
For after meals, cooking meals.
I want to give us some credit here. We're really, well, at least I'd like to give you two credit, maybe not me, that we're really advanced in as far as feminism goes. Because instead of, you know, just saying I can get a woman to do those sort of things, you'd rather have a robot. No, that didn't even cross your mind. So kudos to both of you. Because some douchebag out there would be like, you need a robot for that. You just need a chick, right?
So way to go, you guys.
If anybody was to bring that up, it would be
you. Yeah, because I was just thinking, like,
yeah, those thoughts never crossed our minds. Yeah.
Because why even go, because why mess with that shit? Because I want robots to suck my dick. Like, it's just, yeah, like, it's like, why not just go that route? That's a robot that does, you know, there's a robot that fucking does it already.
Teledildonics.
Right, exactly. No, I'm talking about advanced
robotics.
Advanced robotics, post-cooking cleanup.
Well, let me ask you this.
Because there is a robot
that
does.
Can you fuck those robots?
Oh, God. Brant, what's your answer?
So, anyways, I want a robot that'll know when to get the fuck out of bed and go home. No, I'm
I've overstayed my welcome. I just want to let you know I am having feelings for you, so I am going to leave now.
I know you have an early morning, so yeah. I will leave.
Robot texts you as soon as it leaves.
A Bitmoji of the robot.
What are you up to? What are you doing?
What are you doing? Today's been such a long day. LOL. What are you up to?
My pussy still hurts.
God,
you up? You up? Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Question mark.
You went deep tonight.
H-E-Y-Y-Y-Y-Y-Y. Actually, if I had a robot that I could program to do anything, like Ed the Claft already coming, I'd actually would program a robot to write more code to program other robots. So I only do it one time, and then it does it for the rest of anything I tell it to do. I want this robot
to
do
wish for more wishes.
Yes, thank you. I was just
about to say that.
That's
exactly what I want to do.
I would wish for infinite wishes.
Now, I gave you gold, and then I copped out. So yeah, it's like I offered you the best drugs in the world before selling you an empty briefcase.
Yeah. No,
your robot makes other robots.
No, other robots are made. It's just he goes and programs them for me
to do the
to do other stuff, like other things.
I want this robot
to be able to clean windows like a fucking champ.
But the master robot, Robot Zero.
Yeah.
Would program them for specific things.
And then I want this robot to wait on me as a butler. Program them.
Yeah.
And now, after that, I want this robot over here
to know nothing but King Diamond lyrics.
Exactly. Fucking.
Why can't that one robot. Fate,
let's do it.
Yeah, program both of them.
Just one other robot to clean your windows and do everything else.
Yeah, how many fucking robots you got in your house?
That's a lot of robots. There to be a fucking litany of robots.
He's going to be a cat lady with robots.
When GQ comes over to fucking interview me, I want them to see a shit ton of robots if we're doing everything. What and they'll be like, this is really impressive. I'm like, I only programmed one of them. And they'll be like,
That one over there, see that one? It knows when to get the hell out of bed.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of bed. Do you see it in bed? It knew to get out.
Yeah, this is BB-9, right? It's just like BB-8, except speaks English. And see that one over there? That one's freaking 69, man. It's got all sorts of parts.
That one's waiting by the litter box. Because when the cat shits... No, I don't know where the cat came from, but when it shits, it throws the kitty litter right out of the balcony.
Right.
Right onto the balcony.
This one over here is installed with suckers and fuckers.
That's the new stereotype, is a middle-aged man who stays at home with a bunch of robots as opposed to like a cat lady. It's a robot.
For some reason, I'm talking with a country accent during my interview. Yeah,
this would be the next cliche.
It's going to be crazy. I'm telling you, I would make another iRobot movie.
But it would be cleaning.
It's just like
no gunplay.
It would have George Lopez, and it'd be called AYE, comma robot. I robot.
Man, that's gonna get made.
It will.
I robot.
I robot.
I robot.
Boss.
I mean, you can. Sex bots are great, but after 27 years, I just want a deep tissue massage. Maybe a foot rub.
Yeah.
That's the robot I want.
Yeah. The happy ending is that there's no shit afterwards. Yeah. Yeah,
the happy ending is just, okay, I can go to sleep.
It knows when to get out of bed.
It knows when to get the fuck out of bed.
They have personal massagers already.
No, but this is like to really...
Yeah. My wife's got a few. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That provides the towel.
But also, the robot also like does the one where like stands up and then puts its feet on you and like it's got the bar and does that thing.
No, Asian robot.
It's like a little shiatsu.
It knows all the massages.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It sets the tone though. It sets the mood, like good sense.
Yeah.
Good, you know, a good sense for sense.
Yeah.
It does a survey, like you punch in your user data, like your name and your age and whatever, and it picks the right candles to burn. It'll do that fucking
E-aromatherapy.
Yeah. It'll do that
E-aromatherapy.
That Thai massage where it's the heat bulbs, the heat, the glass.
Yeah, the glass that sucks on your back.
Does the suction cups that does that kind of shit. Yeah, it'll do that stuff.
Go for that one.
Yeah.
It also puts crystals on you.
Yeah. It puts the little hot stones.
Yeah. Just a little, it does crystal therapy.
Crystal therapy,
And it plays that stuff that used to be on softcore porn music, the I, souls, blah,
boop, and, boop, it, boop. And
oh, Enigma?
It does robot Reiki. So it's just robot hands hovers above your body and it just sends you good robot energy and then you feel better.
And then you can pick like a celebrity voice that's like, you know, I'm doing this for you, Robert.
Thank you, George Clooney.
Right. Hi, this is Scarlett Johansson and I really like Pete's back.
Sandra Bernhardt. The worst celebrity.
Flip over, you piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. God damn it, Arnie. You piece of crap.
Enthusiasm.
You stupid bastard.
Over here trying to massage you, you fat fuck. You're pathetic.
You stupid bald fuck. Roll over.
Yeah, I gave him a blowjob in the car. I'm stuck. I can't move.
Hysterical.
I would actually not kick that one out of bed.
Yeah. I was gonna say, guess what? Brant's one robot could make all of our robots.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah,
that's exactly. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Wait, we have to buy them from you, or we get to like?
Well, you have to. Here's the thing: any of your robots can do it. You just have to buy the code from me,
right?
And then I'll have my robot program your robot to do these.
Yeah,
things.
But that robot has to have the like pretty much the. It's the iRobot thing. It needs the three rules so it doesn't fucking go off and. Make killer robots and fucking Skynet.
Can your robot make another robot like itself?
Does Sean not stay in bed? What was that?
Can your robot? That's the three rules. That's like the most important thing.
Rule number one, does Sean not stay in bed?
Thank you, Isaac.
Yeah. I shall not stay in bed. I shall know my place.
Fuck. This is massage.
I shall not get too clingy.
I spoke too soon.
Yeah.
I spoke way too soon.
All right, so Facebook answers. Betty Garza says, clean my apartment. Done and done.
Yeah.
Kiko Martinez says, if it was a robot in the picture above, clean the house,
like a wall,
run errands, drive, etc. If it was a robot in Ex Machina, other things.
Disco dancing.
Yeah.
Stopped at Kyoko. Yes. They should have stopped at Kyoko. I was like, that was perfect. Quit fucking trying to make it better.
Stephen Colton says, well, outside of AI as a companion, I'd want a machine that would assist in daily chores. Like it would be chilling until I started cleaning and then it'd help.
That's just nice of them. Yeah.
Kind of like how I was a kid, I'd be chilling out. Playing games until I saw my mom start to do dishes, and then I'd get up and help before she'd get mad. So, like a kid, but not a kid. I don't have time to take care of another human. All right,
yeah.
Alfred Perez says, work I hate. Lay color flats for comics and letter.
Oh,
I'm sure there's a thing they can do that.
A kid.
Sir Ryan Timothy Brace says, a waffle like bot.
Korean.
It's just a robot that makes waffles.
I like it.
Like, it does everything, though, right? You don't have to make the mix.
No, it'll do everything.
It does everything.
It'll start with some flour and eggs and whatever
Like, it has the eggs.
Nope.
What?
Nope. Those machines that are like that, they don't exist. Like, you know, they have, this robot that makes yogurt. And you know, you got to put, like, you know, yeast and all that stuff. And, you know, one of the ingredients you have to put in to make your own yogurt?
Yogurt. Yeah.
Yes, but this is a fictional question, and it's just the hype that he just wants a robot that makes waffles.
You're going to have to put in waffle batter, man.
No, I'm with you, Timothy.
His one thing he can do is everything it takes to make waffles.
Yeah, but they're Canadian waffles, so what are they made out of, fucking cornmeal?
I don't even know what that means.
They're probably delicious. Jason Christopher Trevino says, make my morning coffee. This includes grinding fresh beans and using specifically a French press. So
it's called a Keurig.
No, robot kid. Okay, that's funny because it's like, hey, finally a kid that you don't have to feed and it locks itself in the closet.
Here's your coffee, Rimothy. Well, because it gives you stupid names in the morning.
What the fuck?
The coffee maker gives you
it's a barista?
It's like a barista.
It's a Starbucks.
Yeah, it gives you stupid fucking names in the morning.
I wrote your name on the cup,
yeah,
right,
yeah, right, yeah, right,
yeah. Yeah, I said my name was Mark with a C, so it just says C Mark.
We gave the robot only half an ear so that it has a full barista experience and not pay a full attention to what you're trying to tell it.
Elizabeth Castro says, wash clothes, fold it, and put it away.
Right.
Yeah. I agree.
Right.
Travis K. says, robot accountant, because I can do well with the bills, but there's never enough time to do them as meticulously as I once did. So a robo-accountant.
Right.
Gabe Diaz says, I'd program it to be well-trained doctor, able to gather all the known medical info and data.
Oh, good answer.
Domo arigato.
Mr. Roboto.
Dr. Roboto. Roboto. Yeah.
Good answer.
Andrew Thomas says he just wants a robot that can flip an omelet. I always screw it up. Right? All right. That's a good
like
one.
You do all the mixing and everything.
Yeah. He does the- do it for me. Flip it. Oh, nice.
But that was style. That's how you do it.
That's what the robot says.
That's how you do it.
Every one of these have to be straight up androids, look like people. They can't be like some stupid like arm on a arm on a stand.
This all reminds me of Pee Wee Herman making breakfast, dude. That's all it reminds me of.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Nicole Moosequi says, cook. A full-on cooking robot who can make anything from grilled cheese to a four-star meal.
Those are in the works. Those are in testing phases right now.
Make me sushi, phone?
Yeah.
And then a little cayenne pepper. Bam.
Bloop. That's his catchphrase. Bloop.
If you don't have yellowfin tuna, you can use regular tuna.
Bloop.
Bam.
Carlos Castro says, I want...
I Fieri.
Brilliant.
There it is.
There's a mic drop.
Yeah, that's a mic drop. I Fieri.
It's going to have flame jobs and paint on it.
Yes,
Jesus.
It's going to keep going. Stop to Flavortown.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, this was like the swimming pool in Flavortown.
It's Guy Fieri's voice, but the robot insert is the winner, winner, fish dinner. That's so stupid.
That stroganoff was money.
I'm hearing.
We're
gonna pat that
holy
shit.
Crap.
Like, this show gets canceled because it's just this bullshit robot.
Yeah, it's like, by a robot.
Yeah, yeah, right. Let me guess your spices. Paprika, garlic powder, cinnamon. I'm stealing that.
Wouldn't it be great
that pierogi was money.
Wouldn't it be great if we set into motion tonight the end of Guy Fieri's
career? Oh,
he's good, man.
You just make an algorithm. There's somebody who could do that. This is what he says when they say this. Robots say something like this. All right.
You know what? I bet you there's a bot that exists. I bet you some nerd.
Go on. Yeah, right.
Yeah, just made a Guy Fieri bot that you just pressed. Just like those Arnold Schwarzenegger ones back like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. They would have automatic phone conversations. Yeah.
Carlos Castro says, I want a robot to tell me when Brant is bringing pizza to the Castro house so I can be there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
We'll work on that. I could program it.
Your robot.
You're one robot.
Yeah.
Thanks, robot. That just cost $3 million.
Yeah. Why did you just bring me fucking pizza?
Why did you just text me?
I'll see you later. They also have rockets.
$23 million.
Hefty Barrett says, fold and put away laundry and scrub floors. Absolutely, man.
Doctor One's my favorite answer.
Laundry bot.
Doctor One was like a fuck no shit.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Like the best one.
Yeah, that's a real. Yeah. That's a real.
That would fucking shut Andy up. A doctor bot. I think I have pneumonia. No, you don't. Like,
here's the thing.
My foot hurts. No, it doesn't. You can't tell me if it hurts or not. There are no sprains, tears, breaks, your ankle.
I'm registering zero pain receptors triggering inside your foot.
Like a fucking passive-aggressive Baymax.
If you're going to make a robot doctor, I want it to talk like an old family doctor. But it's also a real smartass. Like, I think I've gotten a large prostate. Well, what makes you say that? Yeah. It's like,
have you ever seen a small one?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I urinate a lot. Oh, urinating a lot. You think you might have a large prostate. Well, can I ask you something, Mr. Bombers? How many sodas do you drink in a day? About 12. Well, Mr. Bubbles, let's solve this mystery. Oh, fuck you. Stop it.
Get to the point, Roman.
You fucking asshole. God damn it.
Passive aggressive doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Doctor, oh, man. Doctor, it hurts when I do this with my arm. Then don't do that with your arm.
Then don't do that with your arm.
That's straight up that karate school doctor that I went to. They just lay off the rice and beans, and then maybe you feel a lot better. You stop eating the tortillas, stop eating the beans and rice, and then boop, there you go.
There it is.
I twisted my ankle. Twisted your ankle. We'll have to cut it off.
No, I'm fine. That's what I thought. Toughen up, pussy.
Honorable mention goes to a fast break basketball training robot that just fucking breaks knees.
You mean ankles?
Break ankles? ankles.
Or knees. That would do it too.
That's really worse. So good. He's breaking knees, son.
Is that dunking? Like, what does Travis say? Saucing on bitches? This has a robot that just sauces
it's
on
folks. It's just a training. It's a training robot that will fucking crack them.
Right. Gentlemen. No, like before the ball goes in, he goes, 3, and like a real cocky robot. All
right. This is a really, gentlemen, we're going to unveil the ultimate nasty basketball playing robot. We call him the asshole with elbows. Just like a carousel of elbows.
Just rebounds off.
That's all it does.
But then throws it really hard at the rim and misses.
Fucking dick!
Like just dunk.
Asshole with elbows, ladies and gentlemen.
I was programmed to crash boards and defense.
And I'm all out of defense. Sorry. Anyway, so robots that learn from us in real life and will one day take us over kill us all. That's not funny. That's
terrifying,
not funny.
Actually.
They'll be back. All right, so that was another edition of Community Glucose Podcast Public Access. It was a lot of fun, and Pete, since this was your first time, I'm sure you're well aware, obviously, that this is an educational podcast.
Yes.
So what we like to ask our guests and ourselves, what did you come to know? What made you come to learn something new about the world, about yourself, or maybe even just life in general? So ponder that thought for a second, and we'll start with ourselves. Jess, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that I have essentially fallen into the category of progressive. I have been labeled progressive because simply I have created robots that do menial chores without consciously putting those duties on a woman, apparently.
Yeah.
That has made me above the curve.
Yep.
That has made me the ally.
Absolutely.
You know, fist up in the sky. Everyone's right. Wonder Woman. I'm an ally. I'm
You're
progressive.
You are, man.
Because of my choice of robot duties.
You don't have to mansplain.
Man. Right. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. That's what I came to know. I'm progressive.
I learned out of the infinite possibilities of what we could have made robots do. Only one person kind of chose to do like a good doctor robot that could like heal people and do something good in the world. Like mine would its job would still be good. I think what I do is good, but it was purely selfish. So that
Of ours were,
you know, it was all kind of
But can I say why I didn't think to do something more critical? It's because machines can fail. And I would, I'd rather a person fail than blame it on a machine. I'd rather human to err than the machine to err. If a machine fucks up the kitchen or leaves some kind of scraps behind, well, I can fix that. But if a robot's doing like critical
AIDS.
Yeah, then it's like I feel better about a person making that mistake rather than a machine.
Hey man, you've got AIDS.
But Brant's robot would have programmed any robot to do it correctly.
Exactly.
Right. But Brant's robot could also make mistakes.
What I came to know is that there's a sequel to Chinatown called Two Jakes.
Two Jakes.
Two Jakes.
Two Jakes.
Another film that I will never see. I actually came to know that. I didn't know there was a sequel to Chinatown. I didn't know they wanted one.
They came out 15 years later?
Yeah.
And it was like nobody asked for it. It bombed, too.
Well, I mean, Chinatown should have.
Yeah.
Movie 6.
Yeah.
I came to know that this podcast is going to heavily misrepresent me, and I'm going to sound like the biggest asshole chauvinist.
No.
No.
I'm going to program a robot to deconstruct all that.
That was only a response to Larry's fucking
observation.
Oh yeah, but it's but I'm okay with it. It's like a role I'm playing.
Yeah, this but, isn't you as a character.
Yeah, exactly. It's a form of me. Jesus Christ.
Everybody loves Brant.
Yeah, no one's gonna get mad at you, Brant. You're still gonna get the pussy.
Jesus Christ. Gravy. No, but I realize that I don't know as many sword fighting movies. I mean, I do, but I mean, it's like when I need to call that shit up, I blank out.
I blank, yeah.
Yeah, and the first thing I thought to do was decapitate somebody. I was like, oh yeah, Highlander.
Yeah.
And Pete, your first time on the Public Access podcast, I'm sorry. What did you come to know?
I learned a lot about global warming today.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I listened to another podcast on my way in here.
Yeah. Oh, and I learned how Greenlanders talk.
Yeah.
You didn't
I believe we all learned something about that tonight.
Yeah. You didn't learn that.
You
deduced that on your own.
Have you been in Greenland?
No, I've never been in Greenland. But you have not been
Pete
to Greenland.
Pete has.
Either.
But how do you know I'm wrong?
Because I'm pretty sure Pete said that's not what they sound like.
Pete, is that what they sound like?
That is exactly what they sound
that's
like.
What
oh, my God.
Oh,
Larry, man. I'm sorry.
Thank
I
you.
I apologize.
You know, I know I'm bad at doing accents, but I hit Jamaican and
Russian.
Greenland and Russian.
And Russian.
Pretty good. All I have to do is try to do British.
or even their anthems, like
yeah.
Long live the sparse nation of fives.
The sparse nation of
solid fives.
Greenland.
Sparse nation of solid fives.
I would like to apologize to Greenland.
We have a big Greenland
just for
base.
You're right.
On
everybody
public
else, they're all bastards. Oh, but me, I really didn't mean it.
You are helping. You have helped that country. Is it a country?
Yeah.
You have helped that country.
God, we are so American right now.
No, just me.
Thank you.
I'm not ashamed if I don't know something.
Oh yeah.
And so I'll always ask. Greenland's a country, right? Okay, cool. So to the citizens of Greenland that are listening here, if I offend you by sounding exactly like him. Yeah, man.
Well, they're too busy fucking to be listening to any.
So if we ruined your career, I would just like to save it by saying, check out Bunk at Amazon.com.
Yes.
Written by Pete Barnstrom and Jamie Nash. And if you can give a quick plug one more time, Pete, to where people could follow you and buy this book.
Yeah. You can get the book on Amazon at the moment. And I shudder to even mention it, but apparently we're about to get onto Laura Ingraham's website. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about it, too.
Who's Laura Ingraham?
She's some sort of female Rush Limbaugh.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Whatever pays the bills,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, take it. She'll do it. Great.
That's awesome.
And I am Mr. Pete on Instagram and on Twitter, and I'm Pete Mista on Facebook. But, hey, can't have everything.
Thanks for joining us, man. You and my robot need to have some drinks together and cheer up. And so, Jess, what do we have going on?
Well,
later?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to us once more on oneofus.net. We are glad to be a part of your listening enjoyment for the day or for the week or whatever the case may be. If you like what you listen to, you can find more about us guys at comediaagogo.com, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and hashtag Public Access. And be sure to answer our questions on the Public Access Happy Campers Facebook page. We love to read your answers. We love to laugh and learn something every time from your answers. Be our friend. Be our neighbors. We love you. Thank you, and thank you.
And if you are a listener not from San Antonio, Texas, or even if you are, and you would like to see me perform in your town, please hit me up at LarryGarzaComedy@gmail.com. And me and J.Y. Cotton, we got tickets to Boeing. So if you want us to go to your town, just message us and let us know, and we will perform for a fair amount of money.
There it is.
So...
thanks, guys. Pete, it's a pleasure to meet you. And remember, this was all a character. Brant, you're a gentleman and a scholar and a good judge of bad robots.
Yes, I am.
Jess Regan, it's always been a blast, man. You know, it was great knowing you guys. And yeah. I'll see you in Robot Afterlife. So once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we will see you later.
Robotory.